It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up! Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with my co-host,
Captain Radio, Tony Coblins.
There he is. He's sitting there joining me for another fun-filled day. I don't have to go solo, and it's a good thing because we've got this a wily guest today, Tony. He's hard to wrangle in. He's a crazy man, but oh my gosh, is he talented. He's got some comic book. He runs Silver Phoenix Publishing up in the northern part of Illinois. And he's got a few, like, Roller Derby Girl comic books, some zombie comic books. I forget what all else, but most importantly, Haunting Tales of Bachelor's Grove.
Now, he's not from the greater Cook County area, is he?
I don't know. Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, yes, our guest is Charles de Maussant. Hopefully, yes. I get that somewhat pronounced correctly. I'm good at butchering names, by the way.
Yes.
You definitely don't.
IFKMP.
That's okay. We got the spelling. So yeah, see, I wouldn't be good as a baseball announcer either because I can butcher names. But anyway, he's got a new issue of Haunting Tales of Bachelor's Grove, and super excited about it. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. I'm super excited about it because it's been a few years since we had issue one. Now it's time for issue two. And that means issue three is that much closer. But so Charles de Maussant, tell us about Haunting Tales of Bachelor's Grove. Tell us what this is about, why you did this, and what's going on with this all the way. Let's even talk about issue one.
Well, the thing that motivated me, do you want the back story or do you just want the quickie two-word sentence story?
Oh, we want a good backstory.
That's right. The full back story.
Okay. Okay, years ago, to go back, my first stint was publishing a comic book. I'm also driving across the country right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I know. God bless me. Hands free, you know. Feet free, too. It's a robot car. Okay, but to get back, I did a comic book called Kremen, and I was kind of doing well with it. And then my brother passed, a few other things happened. Dragon Con happened, and I just got out of the industry. It was just so many defeats after defeat after defeat after defeat. You know, my brother dying and all this. It's like, screw comics. Then, this was back in the early 90s, 91, 92. Flash forward 2005, and driving across country and helping a friend move out of Arkansas. And we're taking Texas, and then a hurricane comes. Her name is Katrina. We all might remember her.
I remember that one.
Had to go north. And as we're passing Omaha, Nebraska, I'm like, let's stay a night. I used to work here. Then I see a giant clown sign saying Mystery Manor open after 22 years. My jaw dropped because I worked there year three, where I developed the earliest seeds for Dr. Zarvin. He's a character that I played once at Mystery Manor, a mad scientist who tries to do good but fails. I go there, and the gentleman who owns it, Wayne Seeley, looks up from his table. 20 years have gone by, and he says, Charles, is that you? Looking at me with a curious eye. I said, yes, sir. He looks, points over at my old lab coat that's almost in a shined area, and says, we still have your costume. Do you want to become Dr. Zarvin again? And I grinned, and I said, no, I can't because my friend has to get back to Chicago because he works for the Oprah show. And he showed me the haunted house. It's vastly improved from when I was there as Dr. Frickenfrack, which evolved to Dr. Zarvin. Had my purple trends, lab coat, you know, all that stuff. We started talking on the phone, and I was going through a tough divorce at the time. You know, most of them are. And invited me to come down and put me off, and we reconnected. He actually was the gentleman who taught me how to do caricatures because he used to do animation for Disney. And he went to Adventureland and would do caricatures, and he taught me how to do it. So he was very informative on my early years with art as a young adult in my 20s. After bouncing around talking back and forth, he thought of, you know, hey, can we turn my haunted house into a comic? And so we developed a story together. I worked with Cynthia Martin, who actually was one of the early female Marvel artists, and we did six issues of Mystery Manor. The reason why we didn't perpetuate the series is his son took over, and he didn't like comics, and you know, just was like, nah, that's the end. And we completed the story anyway, so that worked out. So I got hooked. So I started doing other small comics, one shot, you know, here and there, because I just forgotten how much I really, viscerally love comics. So, you know, did Blood Teeth, Zombie Annihilation, and these are all loosely based off of Haunted Houses that I was involved with one way or another. A roller derby drama, you know, that's with a roller derby girl sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it so happened, I came across one of the craziest connections I would ever imagine. I ended up meeting one of the creators of Little Mermaid. And this guy, there were seven gentlemen who worked on it. You know, he's not Glenn Keane, but seven men touched her.
Wait, what? Right. Hang on now.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes, they did touch her. In fact, Philo had the pleasure of creating her, changing her seashell, or creating her seashell brassiere, because she originally had seashell pasties. Little 15-year-old Ariel.
Oh, wait, that would be right.
Living around independently. So, yeah.
That changes the whole tone of the Disney cartoon, doesn't it?
I know. Oh, my God. You know, but he worked on, helped to develop Sebastian and Ursula, especially. And there's a whole bunch of stories that if you ever interview him, he could talk to you for hours.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why don't we do conventions? So called up a convention, tried to get him in his guest status. And for the first time in my life, instead of having to do the normal route where we are used to what we're doing, it costs at least $500 to $1,000 to do a convention, and it might make $10 to $100.
Mm-hmm.
They paid us to go.
Right, okay.
And because of his pedigree. And so started working up... you know, developing my brand more, publishing more books, and he was very helpful, so on and so forth, and it's been an amazing evolution. And to the point to where conventions were 70% of income to 90%, you know, nice. You know, for pilots. Just doing commissions and whatnot. You know, because it basically was a vector for commissions. Well, we were at this small, neat southern convention. I think it was HeroCon or something like that. I encountered the gentleman while I was on my skate, Brian K. Morris.
Was this at NerdCon, maybe?
Yeah, that's it, NerdCon.
Ah.
So, yeah, I mean, so many conventions they all blend together.
Right, I bet.
So we started talking about it, and you realize that I tend to have a Silver Age, Golden Age ethic when it comes to my comics. And we started to become best friends, seeing each other at conventions more, and then inviting each other to dinners. And, we started to have a quote, as they would say in modern terms, a bromance, to the chagrin of his poor wife, Cookie. But Cookie was completely delightful, had a great time, got to meet her at their small apartment before they moved to Lafayette. And he loved Mystery Manor and thought, why don't you continue it? He's like, well, you know. So I told him the idea of wanting to do Haunting Tales of Bachelor's Grove, you know, or Bachelor's Grove as a comic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first as an educational, but then he thought, my God, this is right for just incredible stories. And then I came up with a vampire story, and he just said, here, look at this, I wrote this. I'm like, oh my God, this is great. And then we joke around on the phone, and we talk about something else. So, another two scripts, you know, 40,000 scripts later, like, when are you going to get an artist for this? So, I mean, we needed to do 40,000 scripts, but I mean, he is prolific. I mean,
yeah.
The guy just rips words. I mean, you can just see, all typesetters run from him as he's walking by, because he'll absorb everything into him, like a giant black hole map. We will have more words.
I can see that.
Right. And he was also gracious enough to, you know, invite other people. So, I had the idea of like, all right, these artists have done the work. Can I get started looking for art? I mean, writers, you know, were like very, you know, wanting to do that.
Right.
Now comes the art. And that was a little more difficult because I wanted to have good artists who worked in the classical style that was affordable enough, but not to where I'd be insulting them with, like, you know, whatnot. Brian introduced me to a couple.
Uh-huh.
Claudio was one, and he did a book. And then somebody else wanted to do a photographic style, but he never followed through. And, you know, it was just, you know, built up. And finally, issue one, the Kickstarter, it happened. And amazingly, you've been turned into a story that is on this, like, the Illustrated.
Well, that's the one I can't wait for.
The first one. Yeah. And we sold a fair amount of, you know, of copies, you know, gave copies to Brian. And two celebrities wanted to become a part of it, so we kind of helped them in this fold. Kedrosha Ona Carroll, Queen of the Paranormal, wanted to be the first real superhero, so she, you know, goes around and does exorcisms and stuff like that. And so her character does the same thing, so she's like, you know, trying to get in the Guinness World Book of Records for being somebody that does what she does for a living as a superhero in a comic. So it's like, okay.
That kind of fits. Know. Yeah, exactly. She writes her own story, basically, huh?
Right. And then Ron Fitzgerald is, you know, there's a guy who's just like a fun, good old Bob Dylan, tongue-in-cheek, horror goth, watch ringmaster type magician, you know, illusionist. You know,
right.
Stuff. And so we've turned into a guy who has real magic powers, dark arts, his curse. His eye can literally see into the world of the dead because of another curse, so on and so forth. So we became some background characters. I've come up with a couple more. Violet Two Moon, she's a Native American who has more of the darker animal spells. Not black magic, not bad magic,
right, or
bad medicine. It's good medicine. But Two Moon, so powerful that if a vampire were to send a wolf to attack her, she would just look at the wolf and just wave her finger, no. And the wolf would look shocked and bow in apologies, turn around, because animals are not inherently evil. And when it realized it was doing an evil act, it will always break the control of the vampiristic hypnotism, and vampires hate that.
I just realized that you are one of the best storytellers in the world, because you can just, I mean, just the idea of that. I mean, I would have never thought, oh, she could stop the, well, okay. You put a whole history behind it in just like 5 seconds. So that right there alone speaks for why people should be interested in your comic book. So anyway, go ahead.
And I appreciate the fact that there is an entire mythology behind the stories. It's not just a collection of random stories. There is a mythology. There is a backstory that helps ties all of these together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is correct. What we decided to do, and that's how, you know, I would work, like I am not a writer, but I'm a good storyteller / narrator. So if I have somebody who knows how to write, you know, I could orally tell them what I want, and then, you know, they could type it out. But it's really hard to find someone who knows, A, how to write really well, and B, understand comic book as sensuously as they might know a porn star.
That's an intimate comic.
Brian K. Morris is a porn star when it comes to writing comics. I mean, you should see his center spread.
I do not want that image in my head anymore. I'm picturing him. He's still got his fez on too right now. So yeah.
Yeah, grinning with his warm, chubby.
The big question is, where is he wearing the fez?
Oh yes. Well, he has two fezes.
Oh, geez, now
he's got a big fez and a little fez.
Well, actually, a part that you think, you know, is a part of the fez, he whips it around as his tassel.
Yeah.
Helicopter.
Yeah. He actually has a secret power that when nobody's looking, he could flip it around and he can fly wherever he needs.
See? I have to get on this. Yeah. In fact, I have a feeling that might be his next story, because I think you just mentioned something to him. Yes. Just mentioned something to him. He can create a story out of it, just like you're creating mythology out of just little things. So, yeah. Okay. Well, go ahead. What talk about this issue coming up.
Yeah. Well, here's what's unique. unique about the comic
is
it's based off of a real cemetery, loosely based.
Right, yeah.
You can actually visit Bachelor's Grove in Middle Oakland, Illinois. It's on near Richland Avenue and 147th Street, near that cross street, a little bit east of that. So you can actually walk through, see Fulton's grave, see the infant daughter's grave. If you look at the current Kickstarter for issue two, you could literally, I photographed my mother by Fulton's grave, and you can see some other neat things there. It's just quite amazing.
Well, that's now I understand also with that grave, it's one of the most haunted cemeteries in North America, from what I understand, but also the fact it doesn't like to be found. I think I've heard times that people have a hard time finding it.
There was one time when I went with my daughter and a comic book artist who has done a cover for Bachelor's Grove. His name is Steve Geiger, and he used to be an art director for Marvel Comics. Actually would work directly with Stan Lee.
Mm.
And we're like, okay, let's go take some photos. We go in, we start walking and walking and walking, and it feels like 20 minutes we're walking. We cannot find Bachelor's Grove, cannot find it. And, you know, the guy's like, you're wasting my time, and, you know, we couldn't find it.
Huh.
Then we walk out, and it's like, okay, let's go and photograph the pond. We walk to the pond, and we see Bachelor's Grove just right there. And he looks at me, just like, we should have gotten there within 5 minutes. And I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
And we went back, and he started walking again, and we could not find it. Flash forward, I convinced poor Brian to do a video, and it's minus 10 degrees. It's so cold, his breath will not appear in the air. And we find it instantly. So that's one of our weirdness that we dealt with.
Yep.
We have a restaurant around here that's similar to that. Moonshine.
Really?
Oh, Moonshine, yes.
I swear I can never find it. I can't find it the same way twice.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a haunted restaurant.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, it's not a haunted restaurant. But if you don't get there before they shut the grill off at like 2, you're done.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. In the afternoon.
Yeah, it literally operates from like 10 a.m. until 2 in the afternoon, and that's it.
And it's not on any major highway. It's just in the middle of nowhere. I should have steered you towards that, but now you were here too late in the afternoon. You would have missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just mean, Jill. You didn't want me to see it because I took along with your book. You're like, he doesn't get good food.
That's right. I took you to a chain restaurant.
Yeah, I know. A chain restaurant. Not a real hidden secret. That's my punishment for being bad. For taking 3 years to do the book.
You're right. Hey.
It's not my fault I had 8 surgeries. Well, it is my fault.
Well, it is. You're the one that had the surgeries.
Yeah, I know. Damn. Just, all those tumors removed.
You know.
I had a D&D figure inside of me, I found out.
Oh, my. What? What?
Yeah, I had a kidney stone that was a 33-millimeter kidney stone, and it probably could have been some, like, some crystal rock creature or an earth mineral or something.
Turns out he's some sort of Russian nesting doll.
I guess.
They just cut him open and find smaller versions of him.
Yes, I mean, this kidney stone, oh, my God, it's bigger than bullets.
Oh, man. Oh. All right, I don't envy you this, but I find it very interesting that you have deposits of minerals in you like that size. So.
Yeah, it's like, not because there'd be gold or diamond or rubies coming out of me. It's
wish.
Like calcium and uric acid.
Well, I think the gold coming out of you is basically coming out of your brain and into the comic books that you're creating. So there's my good deed for the day. I've just made, you sound good.
Dude, you're only saying that because he put you in one of the comics.
That's true.
Wait, oh my gosh, you're my best friend now. That's better than juggling fortune, son.
All right, well, so let's, what are the stories going to be? Let's talk about this issue. What's going to be the stories in this issue of the comic? Because I know that you got more coming.
One of the things that we do is have a little feeling that, again, bounce back and forth real quick and then still sort of stay in focus.
Yeah, well, sort of.
First, you have a haunted house, and what we've done is the haunted house is basically lawful evil. They'll come up with little tricks, little games, things like that to relieve its boredom, feed off the energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you beat it by its rules, it will let you go. But if you're evil, it will make the rules even harder. It does you know, if they're like, oh, look at this poor house, let's fix it up. The house is like, you know, I kind of like this. Okay, I'll just let them stay here. Oh, look at this poor dilapidated cemetery. Oh, and the cemetery is like, oh, this feels kind of good being groomed like that. Okay, you know, we won't attack them. You know, we'll ignore them as delightful pets. You know,
mm-hmm.
But the pond, who's chaotic evil, you know, the grave is like neutral evil. It's more like, just leave me alone. I'm tired of being pregnant. Just go away. You know, don't put anything more in me. But the pond is chaotic evil, constantly hungry, constantly lusting. And it was like, I will not tolerate this and set things up to cause mayhem, disaster for the hippie couple who just had a new baby. Now, that's not in this issue, though. That's in the future.
Oh. But
that's the house. Then you have the pond, which is constantly hungry and constantly trying to eat, devour, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is about the cemetery proper. So the first one deals with Ron, you know, dealing with doing a performance in the house, and things don't go well. His magic tricks fail in a bizarre way. You know. Another one is the cemetery. Well, it turns out that a force of good battles a demon. A couple of myriad of characters. You know, there is a monster hunter we don't have yet in this issue, who kills monsters violently, and she just feels visceral. That's the only thing that gives her pleasure, because she's an actual psychopath, and nothing makes her happy. She just feels nothing, except when it comes to killing. And she realizes killing monsters are a challenge, and she likes that. And you know, vampire hunter, monster hunter, demon hunter. And when she kills them, they turn to dust. Gadrolsha is able to cast out demons, so she could potentially save a host.
Okay.
But who knows? Gadrolsha may lose her life in this one.
Uh-oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and the third one is, again, dealing with the pond. And a man races for his life, because death may be chasing him.
Ooh, how metaphorical.
Right. You know, and so basically each will have a loose theme to, you know, with like the pond or,
right.
or the house or whatnot.
And so ask a question. Please. So mine's going to be, the story for me is going to be related to the house, I take it?
Correct.
Awesome.
Correct. One of the things about the house, we decided is, you know, it could disappear and reappear for different people.
Right.
That's the actual myth. What I've done is the house can disappear and reappear as something else, and everybody's memory is altered globally, where they remember it as something else. So it might be an insane asylum, it might be a saloon, or it might be a cursed radio station.
Dun, dun, dun. So I'm in the insane asylum? Oh, no.
Oh, no, you wish, because at least they have whips there.
You have been inside. We didn't show you the closet,
right,
though,
right,
did we?
Right.
Never mind. So, okay, so issue number...
It turns out that, you know, you're watching by one of your co-hosts, and he showed you a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because you're only by yourself, you know, first started out with a hairy palm, and then it spread to the rest of your body.
Mm-hmm. I always hate that hairy palm part. So anyway, all right, so issue number two, you've got that right now on Kickstarter. Let's kind of get focused back here a little bit. Okay, so it's on Kickstarter right now, and I'm going to put a link to it on our Facebook page, on the Nerd Up Facebook page, and also on the podcast page, and we'll talk about that. But the best way to find that on Kickstarter would be just look up Haunting Tales of Bachelor's Grove.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or my name. Go down and click on it. You know.
And Charles.
Oh, yeah, Charles D. Masson.
Charles D. Masson. And I'll make sure and put a link there as much as I can, everywhere I can, and spell out your name and all the other things that people need to know.
Try to lose the FCC license. Like, get that close, but not close enough. We're harassing everyone.
Right, yeah.
You know, and here's the neat thing. This is what I like about Kickstarter, is that true fans get like a fast edge ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
If you get something neat and amazing.
Right.
That's one. Two, you know, there's a set amount that things you cost to do, and you also include shipping, what goes to Kickstarter. Kickstarter and you know, paying off little people, you know, not little people, paying off smaller little expenses back here and there. So, for example, you know, when I make one stretch goal, I can include a trading card of some people. So, mm-hmm. you know, for example, you know, eventually when we do yours, there might be a level where you can have a guild peak trading card as werewolf form or human form.
I'm liking this.
yeah, a little fun, something like that.
Okay.
You know, kind of makes it more cool.
You know, and that you're absolutely right. That's one thing I love about Kickstarter. It's not just the stretch goals, but also the different levels, the tiers. Like, you hit on this, and I want to talk about this. You've got in this one of the tiers, you can get like issue number one, in case you missed it. You can also get issue number two, which is appropriate because that's the one going on. But you also have thrown in, this got my curiosity intrigued. I know a little bit more about it, but I want to let you talk about it. The Heap versus Bachelor's Grove. You got a tier where you can actually get an issue of that comic book. Tell us about The Heap.
Well, David Hayes, he is another phenomenal writer who is just awe-inspiring. I mean, I feel like king of the dumb when I'm around these two bald-headed gentlemen. And the only reason why you can tell them apart is that Brian grew the side beard. That's why they're sideburns. Otherwise, I could not tell the difference because they're like clone stamps. It's like you've heard of the Clone Wars,
right?
Yeah, it's based off of one genome,
right?
Well, they were part of the writing wars, you know, years ago that saved the galaxy from destruction.
Okay.
They wrote the rules on how the universe works with God, and God made sure to grow a lot of hair and a big beard that he would not be confused for David Hayes or Brian T. Morris.
I understand
It's pseudo fact. It's true pseudo science. But to get back, David Hayes loves the Heap. The Heap is an old swamp muck monster, kind of like Swamp Thing, Man Thing, Somebody's Thing. but basically, it's a vegetable type mound of muck and, you know, semi sentient. And apparently, this one was based, you know, started a World War One German pilot who was scammed and lied to. And his, you know, this is my understanding, is that when he was killed, the energies of the forest or the swamp all imbued him, his dead flesh, with the will for revenge, but only against that which is evil. And so he became this, you know, force of nature that would basically stop cruel and rotten things. Well, as it's wandering the world, it discovers Bachelor's Grove, and Bachelor's Grove wants to see if it can break, destroy, devour, or corrupt the Heap. That is why it is called The Haunting Tales of Bachelor's Grove versus the Heap.
That is so awesome. You just described a perfect 50s sci-fi horror film right there, and I'm loving it. And
right.
I'm like, okay, we need more of this. So Kickstarter issue number two, we're going to get this rolling. How soon to, I mean, this is almost over. You're like halfway through the Kickstarter, aren't you?
I know. I mean, I have a much lower goal than my other one because the other one I just went for straight traditional printing.
Mm-hmm.
On this one, I'm like, okay, I'll do digital printing soon now. So it's like, you know, you want one, okay, press a button, you get one. I mean, it's expensive when you do it that way, but, you know, I can at least get it out.
Okay.
And there's enough to, like, still do more. But if we get to a certain level, I can do a large run of them on a traditional offset press or even a web press. And, you know, it'll be like normal book again.
Right.
And you know, not having the convention has really hurt.
My
vector for sale.
Well, I was going to say how are you? You know, during 2020, this has like been the year from hell. You don't have the convention, so I guess is this your answer to the convention? Maybe.
Actually, no.
Oh.
Okay, COVID has been very good to me.
Oh, hey, nice.
I don't know if I've heard anybody say that so far.
What I will do is I will send you a free link for an educational comic book, Silver Phoenix, which is 100% owned by my mother, and I consult for it. But we did a comic book helping young children to understand not to be afraid of the COVID swab. You know, the swabbing. Because most kids thought, my brain's going to get smoked now.
Right. Right.
But when you read this comic book and just be mystified, then it's like, oh, it's like cleaning your ear. it's a lot easier having the fear dispelled. So, and all the books are given away for free.
Oh, cool.
You know, that's the other thing is with it. But, you know, these government contracts have been saving my hide.
I'll be darned. You know,
and I've been able to, you know, or Silver Phoenix.
Right.
So whatever I have been, it's really my mother and Silver Phoenix.
Right.
You know, I basically volunteer. But, you know, there have been other artists who have not had to go hungry because it's like, okay, do this project. And, you know, we've been able to survive.
Nice.
So
okay.
It's not like we're fat cats.
Right.
But because of the freelance model and what we were not viable for the PPE. So we didn't need the PPE. That's the best part about it. We have not gone behind in the bill.
Well, I mean, you guys are in a unique position because you are used to kind of being fluid and moving from project to project. You're not necessarily beholden when something like this goes south.
You know, and like I said, you know, the loss of the convention, you know, I mean, Philo would do really good and then, you know, give a percentage to Silver Phoenix. But, you know, the loss of that, I mean, not to be rude, I'm going to say it like this. I know artists who were doing conventions and that was their sole source of income.
Mm.
And a couple of them are homeless right now, or they've moved back in with a friend, you know, under their grate, or somebody else, or they've, you know, have tried to find a job, or have gone into wait staff, and then they have to lose it because the county's closed down. So they're back in the same situation again, and it is very, very frightening. I mean, okay, when we were there last time, you know, just to switch subjects, you said only 6 people in your community had COVID. Is it still that way? Is it still...
We're still pretty low, but compared, what are we now? You know,
since March, we've had over 800 positive cases, and currently we're sitting at 115 at last count that are active cases.
Yeah.
Okay. How about mortality?
We've had, I think we're up to 7 that have died as a result of COVID.
Wow, that's so tragic. That's so horrific.
Yeah, and I suspect that the vast majority of those 7 were older folks who had compromised immune systems to begin with.
Right.
Yeah, see,
have you tested positive yet?
Is what?
Have either you had it and overcame?
No. I've done 3 COVID tests at this point, and I have not come back positive on any of them. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have faced toe-to-toe the horrible nose monster, but as they shoved that swab into my brain, I have faced that.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
Yeah.
Well, the thing was, he came back, and he's like, each time he'd get his test, he'd have, like, different memories. So
Yeah. They kept hitting the reset button.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. my paranoid side is like, what prevents them from, like, putting in something experimental, you know?
Right? Oh, now you really made me not want to get one.
Right? You know, let's say that they implant COVID.
You know.
Or, you know, they're like, we don't like guilty. His political views are not appropriate. So let's give them a nose.
Wow. That sounds like people would do that to me.
That's why since March I have gone out of my way to make sure those in the public health industry at the hospital love me. Just in case. I like to keep them on the good side.
So Captain Radio actually has tea pads bigger than the Girls at Hustler strip club.
Well, yeah.
You know, you do what you got to do.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, tell you what.
I was Dr. Frankenstein at a strip club recently.
Really?
And I had to put my hand on a woman's chest.
Uh-huh.
Had to.
I mean, I hate when that happens.
It was.
Yes. Well, I was using paddles, of course. But I resurrected the Frankenstein's bride. And then
did he just say erected?
No. Well, yeah, I resurrected.
Oh, yeah.
So that all the guys watching erected.
I'm still curious about the paddles part.
Yeah. And then she started to become inappropriate, and her clothing became way too hot. And then she started oozing radioactive fluid blood. Ooh. All over the place. And it was like creepy sensuous.
Now, where's the strip club at? I need. Okay, maybe not.
Yeah.
Right, let's get back
Peoria.
On. Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
Peoria.
All right,
let's get back on track here. You got this Kickstarter almost done. Now, when this Kickstarter goes, you're fully funded right now, aren't you? Or are you close?
Yeah.
Okay.
For digitally, yes. I'm
okay.
Fully funded. So,
cool.
Like, okay, I can do this. I can add some extra copies for myself. I can, you know, give a few away to Brian, to Kudrosa, and to Ron.
Okay.
You know, and whatnot. And then, you know, and start to work to save up for a hard, what I call I call it a hard copy print run. I mean, digital is hard copy, but, you know, for an offset print run.
Right, right.
Like a big, massive amount. You know,
right.
Like, there's like 100 books, Brian. Oh, here's 1,000 books, Brian. Go sell them.
Go sell this. Well, when there's cons, there will be sold. Well, okay, and plus, you've got a website you can sell those out. I'm going to have you pimp that out here in a moment, but I want to ask you, so, and this is, of course, you know, me asking as well as I'm sure all the listeners want to know too, but so when's issue 3 going to be on the Kickstarter?
What I'm hoping is to get issue 3 going in about 2 months.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I have enough content to sell it. I could just put out, you know, a new book.
Mm-hmm.
If I wait, it's depending on the timing for the artist on your story.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll either appear 3 or 4.
Okay.
And part of me is thinking of, you know, it's like, okay, Brian wrote a story about this guy, and this guy. Maybe we have them all appear together.
Oh, that'd be kind of neat.
Right. You know, the sponsored stories.
Right.
Sponsored story syndrome.
Now, originally, you said you were going to make this a 6-issue run of this comic. Are you still doing just the 6, or have you said, you know, I could do more?
Brian wrote too many stories, so we have to do more.
I like it.
Honestly think with the amount of content, and this is just speculating right now, plus I'm planning to write some stories, too. You know, for example, there's an old story that's called Blood Feast, The Cloth. And it was about a cannibal restaurant where the proprietors gain moments of immortality as they eat human flesh.
Nice.
But it's done, again, tongue-in-cheek, 60s style.
Oh, wow.
Goofy. Oh, okay, and I'm going to get back to the goofy, twisty ending. And what's funny is the ending, we also translated into Ukrainian, just for the heck of it.
Okay. okay.
And it was funnier. Twist ending is better in Ukrainian than in English.
Oh, wow.
Right? I'll just take away, you know, some one small joke. There's a joke about pimento soup.
Okay.
And being mistaken for placenta soup. You know, you know, cannibals, oh, yeah, you know, placenta soup, then you're a cannibal. And in Ukrainian, the word for placenta and the word for free are just one letter different. So we changed the ending so the guy didn't think he ate vegetables, so he just thought it was free soup.
Oh, God.
We changed it first.
You know what? I think I might take up Ukrainian if that. I like their, or the way their translations are, yes.
But, back to Haunted Tales, you know, back to the girl.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that, you know, as we're weaving it, you know, the stories, even though they seem like random different anthologies, there is a thread, a very thin one, where they're slowly interconnecting more and more and building up to something major.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, a couple ideas I've been bouncing off is there may be some Cthulhu-type mythos dealing with the cemetery. You got monster ghosts. You maybe even have some clown ghosts, you know, different things like that, so different interactions of the horror Desian.
Well, being up in Chicago, you'd have to have the mobster ghost. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, there's one story. It's called Gone in 666 Seconds, where there's the legend that at one stretch of road for 1 mile by it at a certain time at night, if your speedometer hits 666, that anywhere within the speedometer, you know,
right.
You know, whatever. I'm not coming up with the right word. That a ghost car will appear trying to run you off the road or trying to ram into you. And there have been supposed cases or reported cases of the side of the car being damaged or part of the front grille being damaged or the back of the car being damaged. Well, we decided to take that and we calculated the speed of where we're going and everything, and it can't literally comes out to 666 seconds. That is the time frame to have everything go on. So in 1 minute and, you know, in 666 seconds, there is a lot of horrific things that can happen to people within a car if it gets possessed.
Oh, man, I tell you what, you just got so much going. I'm hoping that, again, when I first read that you guys were going to do six issues, I was happy with that because I'm loving the, I love the old horror comic books. Those are my jam. And whenever I, you know, I've told you this personally, that what you guys are doing, I love the project. I love the idea because it brings back my childhood. It's weird, twisted childhood, but I love those old horror comics. And it's really one of the things that needs to come back. And I love, and you've got so many stories to tell that I'm you know.
Thank you.
That you're doing it. Now you got issue two up on Kickstarter, issue three hopefully a few months, and then just keep going forever and ever, and eventually, you know, we'll have told every tale there is to tell. I don't know about that, but...
Yeah, you know, and you know, in fact, you know, there's a another a book called Miskatonic High. It's basically about a bunch of high schools dealing with this little mythos.
Uh-huh.
And what's been great is he's gotten up to a steady, you know, 25 to 3,000 fans. And to be blunt, at that amount, you know, if we really get to that point where it's steady and we have that amount of fans, this book can perpetuate itself for years.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
easily,
like the
Superman
title and things like that.
Well, I know with the team you've got, with, like, you know, you, Brian K. Morris, and Philo, and anybody else, I mean, all the artists that you've had before, the team you've got the possibility to just keep going. So with the sound.
Right. And even if Brian, you know, is unavailable, which I hope he is, I mean, because he's been taken off like wildfire. It's almost like the unknown talent goes to Hollywood and now he's Mr. Superstar. you know, there are other good writers.
Happens.
You know, and you know, and this could be a launch pad to experiment and have fun with. You know, if you're a writer, I would possibly have you experiment when we get low on stories, you know, or others. Or you can have a contest. A radio
that's
contest
a good idea.
For who can do the best horror stories and then have it published.
That's a good idea.
With some prizes, you know, sponsored by the radio station.
Really cool. All right. Well, Charles DeMoussant, he's behind the whole Haunting Tales of Bachelor's Grove. He's also with Silver Phoenix Publishing. I'll get it out. First day of the new tongue. Yeah, Silver Phoenix Entertainment. That's it.
.net. It's just silverphoenix.net.
Okay.
You can see, you know, my other stuff that I do.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun. But we want to get this one funded. I want to get this one. I want to get thousands, like you said, thousands of fans, keep it perpetuated. I want to see that happen with this because, again, this is just a project worthwhile. And I was going I was going to bring in issue number one for Tony to take a look at before we started. I forgot, but that's okay. I'll bring it in Monday.
You go to the Kickstarter page right now.
Mm-hmm.
As a free tape, I let you read the first story from issue one and the brilliant Mr. Morris's prose that he wrote.
I'll make sure and put a link for that website or for the Kickstarter again, and then also put in for Silver Phoenix .net. Put it out on there. I forgot about that as well. So they'll all be linked. So anybody listening, you can go check it out.
How do you like being on my podcast? I'm taking it over.
I see.
So, hey, what happened with Captain Under Radio Pants? That says nothing.
No, he's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm actually on your website right now.
He's browsing.
Oh, no. I'm actually browsing silverphoenix.net.
So see,
I'm lucky.
He got work to do. Anyway, all right, so I'm going to get this up going, let people hit it and, give you some money to help perpetuate this freaking comic that is cool.
I saw before you.
It's so cool. I really loved issue one when it came out. I was just like, okay, I need more.
What did you like about it?
What did I like about it?
I'd like to get your critical analysis because you are Gil P. Wilson.
That's right. Well, like I said, brought me back to my childhood. I just love those old horror comics. And the fact, I don't know, like I think Tony hit on it earlier when he talked about you have a mythos behind everything. It's, you do. And it just felt right. I have no explanation other than it brought back my childhood and I love horror. So there you go. I like it. That's all I need.
Thank you, best friend.
You can pay me later.
You're
but
on the cool list now. And, of course, Lord Gil T. Wilson, you're on the awesome list. And also, keep listening to
T-Y-E?
Yeah. Wow, that was like the greatest, all excited plug for your radio station. God bless you.
Well, I'm hoping that's you use the actual name in the comic. That way I can, tell all these people in this town.
See, if I have permission, I do. For something like that, I would need to have a letter from the owner of the station giving me permission to use the call sign in it.
I'll do that. I'll get him to do that. He's already said that's a cool idea. So
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I said I got $1 million.
Right.
By dancing in the street. Is it real? No.
No. Right. You gotta have proof. I understand that 100%.
Yeah. That's the only minor thing. But
No, we call that guerrilla marketing. If our call letters and logo show up in a comic book, hell yeah.
That's like gorilla. Wait. Do comics about gorillas?
No.
Yeah. Oh, wait. WKCG gorillas. Wait, we will have a Gil T. Wilson, the werewolf versus
versus marketing
Captain
gorillas.
Radio, that's Dance Pants Radio, the gorilla. You're like in this underwear, and you hate having to wear it. But it's actually your like ammo folder.
Jeez, get out of my head.
You can like throw super bombs.
Again, you've just totally captured what we are. So, all right, well, Charles, thanks a lot for entertaining us because. You are a very entertaining person at any time I've ever met you, and I want you to continue with this, prosper with this comic book because I love reading it, and I'm more than happy to push it because, again,
I
love it.
Win Lotto.
So, that would be awesome. Then I'd really fund your comic.
Did you know that? I hear one of your audience members, you know what they're going to say? I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay. Do what?
They all ran away.
All right.
Because they're on the computers pledging. Thank you.
All right. So we'll get this rolling. And again, maybe I'll talk with you again sometime soon. Hopefully you'll be around here or something will come on that, we'll be able to meet up again. In the meantime, I want to call an end to this podcast because, hey, I got things to do. I got home to go to so I can go reread Haunting Tales of Bachelor's Grove issue number one. It's fun read. So again, Charles D. Moissant with Silver Phoenix. He'll have the Kickstarter's up there. I'll have the links up. Tony, any closing remarks?
No, I definitely encourage people to check out silverphoenix.net. Not only are there links for the comics, but there's also merch that you can pick up there, T-shirts and rings and posters. That's I was just kind of thumbing through the site here and got a Silver Phoenix pendant. They've got rings of the Sisterhood jewelry.
Oh,
which looks kind of cool. Ooh. So definitely check out the website, silverphoenix.net.
One ring for them all.
That's right.
All right. So once again, Charles, thanks a lot. And like we say at the very end of each and every single episode, stay nerdy.
Always remember your love. Nerd up.